God is awesome in all of his ways. The Bible tells you and I that his ways are past finding out. How can any human know the ways of God? And Lord Jesus says, how can any of you know the Father unless the Son who's from the Father reveal him to you? Amen. And then Paul would later write by the Holy Spirit that only the Spirit knows the deep things of God, or the hidden things of God, or the secret things of God. How can any man know anything about God unless God by his Spirit reveals them? And that's why Moses, when God came down on the mountain and Moses was talking to the people, the scripture tells us later on that Moses said he feared for his own life. The whole nation of Israel trembled. Even the babies in their mother's arms, when they heard the voice of God, trembled. Now that's something. Imagine that. It is powerful. God is all powerful. There's none like him. That's why it is tangible for the world to know that there's only but one God. All others are little G's and they're false gods. And God said, don't you worship them. And through the heart of Israel, we are coming to know that God is God and God alone. And he told us that beside me, read the prophet Isaiah writings. He said, by me, he said, besides me, there is no other God. And he even told Job, you remember that sick man? He told Job, he said, where is my equal that I may pay him or repay him? God doesn't have an equal. He said, everything under heaven is mine, said the Lord. How can you handle someone like that? You can't. Why do you think Satan got cast out? Because his head got big and he wanted to be God. He wanted to be worshipped like God. You know, he looked up and seen how God was getting all the great worship of the universe. And he decided he wanted to be like God. You can't be like your creator. How is it possible that you can be equal to the one who created you? You can never be equal to him. And that's why Paul wrote, and please get this as we get ready to go for the Lord in prayer. Get this really carefully. That's why Paul wrote in this letter to the Philippian church in chapter 2, starting at verse 5. He said, first of all, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Okay, you got to have an attitude change. You need an attitude adjustment, okay? And once you get this attitude adjustment, he said, now this is how your mind's supposed to be. Jesus did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Whoa, wait a minute now. What are you saying, Paul? Jesus does not consider it robbery to be called God. Why? Because he is God. That's why he didn't consider it robbery. Okay? Why do you think the leaders of Israel wanted to stone him? You read about it in John chapter 10. He said, for which of these great works you want to stone me? They said, for the great works, no, but by you being a man, by saying you're the Son of God, making yourself equal with God, and for that, we're going to kill you. They couldn't get it. They couldn't get it. That Jesus, the Son of God, said, listen, I'm, number one, I am God. But I'm not going to brag about it. And he came, the Bible said, and made himself of no reputation. He didn't come down bragging, Mr. Willie. He came down telling the gospel truth. He said he came in the form of a man, in the form of a slave, a bond slave, someone sold into slavery. Okay? He came not as a free man, yet he was God. It took on the form of a human, the appearance of a man, he says there in Philippians chapter 2. And then he humbled himself. God humbled himself to the people he created. And that he did what? He cast off his power and his attributes as God. What would have happened if God would have came down like he did on Mount Sinai and lived among the people? His glory would have killed every human. that he came in contact with. Okay? So we got to understand how great is our God. That song moves me every time. That's why I was telling ladies, I said, y'all got to sing with some enthusiasm. Little did I know the melody called for that. Right in my mouth. That's why I don't deal with music unless I'm reading it in front of me. And I still know how to do that. But how great is our God? We're going to get a chance from the Holy Ghost in a few minutes to look into the heart of God. We're going to go and God is going to show himself so wonderful. Yet the creator of the universe is going to show you the softness of his heart, the kindness of the Father's heart, as we continue this journey learning about spiritual warfare. And notice the Holy Ghost hadn't had a suit up yet. Have you noticed that? Because I firmly believe that soldiers need to be trained before you thrust them into battle. Amen? We are soldiers of the Lord, and we have to be trained properly before we go into battle. And part of that training is knowing who your enemy is. And most importantly, knowing who your general is. Amen. The one who's going to lead you in the battle. You got to hear his battle cry. You got to follow his order. When he says shift to the left, you got to know to shift left. Amen. When he says shift right and fight, you got to know to shift right. But he will never tell you to pull back. So God don't lose ground. Amen. He will never tell you to retreat. What he'll tell you, he said, plant your foot. Be steadfast and unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that your what, pup? That your labor is not in vain. Amen. Keep pushing forward. Amen. No matter how tough things get. And if you need to take a break, he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Okay? Strengthen yourselves in the presence of the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
And that's what God's people got to do. Stand still and allow Jesus to move before like a mighty rushing wind. And no devil in hell can stop you. Amen. When that happens. Woo, glory to God. Something is happening up here. Are you hearing me? The glory of God is coming forth in his people.
Amen.
And I'm going to be honest with you. As I was sitting before the Lord early this morning, remember I told you, you got to get yourself time, that preparation before the Lord. And I'm going, Holy Ghost, I don't know how this is going to go. And I kid you not, you know what he showed me? He said, preach the glory of God and the glory of Jesus, and it'll happen. And I'm preaching the glory of God right now. That's what you need to know. We don't need to get caught up on everything else. Because when you're walking in the presence of the Lord, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. Why do you see that David said over and over and over again that the Lord is my fortress? And he's a mighty stronghold. He even called God his battle axe.
Amen.
He said, the Lord is a man of war. God is a man of war. Amen. He does not lose battles. Why do you think Joshua's standing on the battlefield when he's seen a great warrior standing? And those of you who don't know this story, let me encourage you to go to Joshua chapter 5. And in that, you will see this great warrior. No one has ever seen a warrior like this before. Standing on that battlefield. And Joshua trembled. They said, are you for us or our adversaries? He wanted to know whose side he was on. It's better to be on who? The Lord's side.
Amen.
Okay? And so Joshua was standing there and he asked the question. And guess who answered him? Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, answered Joshua. Jesus was that great warrior. He said, no, but captain of the host of army. Otherwise, I am the commander in chief of all the armies in heaven. Who is that? It ain't but one. And his name is who? Jesus. Name but one. Let me tell you, Jericho trembled.
Amen.
Things were not the same. While Joshua then was marching around Jericho, Jesus was marching around in the heavens. And he was conquering the demons that had the stronghold over Jericho. Are you hearing me? Woo, you got to get that. And so, as we get ready to go before the Lord in prayer, you got to fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on the Father, because that's where the Holy Ghost is taking us this morning. Spiritual warfare. You need to know who's leading the battle. Every soldier needs to know who's leading the battle. And so when you get behind the greatest warrior there is, you're not going to be destroyed. You're not going to lose the battle. Amen. And folks, let me tell you something. When he tells you and I in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, talking about Satan, you know, and the blood of Jesus, the saints, we have that victory. That word overcome comes from the Greek word that means victory. Okay? That we have the victory by the blood of Jesus. But it's just more than having a victory and walking in salvation. Jesus said, not only are you saved by my blood, but you are a warrior by my blood. You're going to go to war. You're going to do warfare by my blood. And as we go forth in the blood of Jesus, we're conquering territories. And we're taking back that which the enemy never had any right to in the first place. That's why I tell you all, say, hey, let's get started. Dads, get yourselves away. Get before the Lord. Mamas, get yourselves away. Grandmamas, get yourselves away. Granddaddies, get yourselves away. Get in the presence of the Lord. The battles are won in the spirit world, not in the physical world. Okay? Because these battles, these unseen battles, they are worse than the ones that you see on earth. Because they come to steal men's souls. And they come, oh, glory to God. You're going to see in a minute. Okay? You're going to see. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you now in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. We're coming to see, Lord, what you have in store for your people. Holy Ghost, I can't preach this message, but you can. And we're dependent upon you, Lord. Lord Jesus, you are the commanding general of God's army. You are the Lord. You are the captain of the armies of heaven. And we follow you. Not only do we follow you, Lord, but we worship you. And Father, we're asking you who sit upon the throne, have your way now, Lord. Have your way. As the Spirit writes your word upon the table of our hearts, have your way in us, Lord. We know that you're already with us. The children, the way they sing, the way the adults sing, Lord, you're with us. And now we're waiting. As you say, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Lord, show us in Jesus' name these great and mighty things about spiritual warfare that we do not know. Holy Spirit, now I move myself out of the way so that you can speak to us. And we, Lord Jesus, we're hearing what the Spirit has to say to us, the church. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 4. What we're about to see this morning in the Spirit, because Jesus said his word, they are life and they are spirit. What we're about to see from the Holy Spirit is the first indication of spiritual warfare coming to us. The enemy is bringing the battle to us, Mr. Willie. And if we are not careful, that enemy will defeat us because its sole desire is to consume us. And this morning, we're going to take a look at the life of King. It's just a platform this morning, okay? It's just a platform in which we're going to use, or shall I say, a more appropriate, a springboard that the Lord is going to use to spring us on over to the next area where we're going to see God himself engaging in spiritual warfare. Amen. You didn't know that, did you? We're about to see some stuff, folks, that God himself is doing. And when we understand the heart of the Father, then we will know why we're here. You'll fully understand the term Christian, which means Christ-like, or a little bit of Christ, okay? And Jesus, when he was here in the ministry that God sent him to do, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, engaged in spiritual warfare every day. You all just didn't see it. The writers just didn't record everything. John gave us a glimpse. He said at the end of the gospel that he wrote, he said, now, if we would have recorded everything that Jesus said and done, there wouldn't be enough volumes in the world to contain it. I mean, they would be forever writing. And so, what's going on? The first form of worship that we see in the human race is taking place. Mr. Willie, did you get that? The first form of human worship to the one true God is taking place. We don't see where Adam and Eve worship God. It's not recorded. But we do see where their children do. Okay? And so we're going to take a look at that and see what kind of heart it is that come before God. And out of that, you will see whether the heart that's fixed on God, walk with God, worship God in spirit and in truth. The heart that's not right with God opens the door for demonic influence. Are you hearing me? So this is important to get. To understand what mindset that you have to be in. Spiritual warfare can be invited by your state of mind. Are you hearing me? So let's take a look. Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. That's what Cain means. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep. Abel was a shepherd. Abel was the first pastor. Are you getting this part? Because remember I told you the Greek word for shepherd is also the Greek word for pastor. And since our English translation of the Bible was translated from the Septuagint, okay, which is Greek, the Greek Old Testament is called. So Abel was the first pastor. Okay, symbolic? Yes. So it was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. He was a farmer. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Let me stop for a moment and explain a false teaching that even I was under. For many, many years, we were taught that it was because Cain brought fruit to God that God didn't accept his offering. God required a blood offering. The scripture will explain itself in a second. Okay? And you will see that that teaching is not accurate. Watch and see what the scripture tells us. So he brought his fruit of the ground to the Lord, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. Well, he brought the very best. So that means his heart was right. He had made up in his heart, Mr. Willie, to give God his very best. That's what fat represents. Okay? And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Abel came, proud of going to worship God. And this is what it's telling us here. He made up in his heart that he will give God his very best. Amen? Mm-hmm. And we're not saying that Cain, the fruit could have been the best. But what was missing? His heart. Your very best doesn't necessarily mean a material best. Hello, somebody. The very best means coming from here. Okay? You think about the widow's mite. This poor little widow. She gave everything she had. And Lord Jesus compared her with the leaders of Israel. Okay? And how they gave a tenth or a tithe of what they had. And Lord Jesus said, which one gave the most? And most people would say, they gave a tenth. That's far more than what a mite is. Yes, of course. But here's the thing. That's all the lady had. She gave every penny she had. Her heart was right with it. So she gave every penny she had. So she gave all. Did they give their all? No, they kept the 90 for themselves and said, you're only getting 10. Heart issue? Yes. The woman said, God, you have everything I got. Here it is. This is all the money I got. Here it is. Cain, his heart is different. Let's see why. So the Lord said to Cain, I want you all to understand this. This is the generosity and kindness of our God. God went to Cain. Are you hearing this? God didn't have to go to this man. God showed the kindness of his heart by going to Cain. The man who had messed up. Instead of God rejecting him, God went to him as a loving father. And watch what this loving father tried to do with his son, Cain, who at this time, his heart had turned bitter. He was angry with God. So that meant they knew that they were getting feedback from God. Abel, you accepted Abel. Why do you accept mine? He had an attitude problem. Amen. So instead of God speaking his butt, God takes time and do what? He go to him and he wants to show him how to approach him correctly. Isn't that what Lord Jesus did with us? He came down here and he said himself, this is how you come before my Father. Pray in this manner. Our Father who art in heaven. He gave us a glimpse into God's heart by allowing us to come to God on his terms, not ours. Do you see this? I told you we're going to get something different out of this. So, God, being the loving father that he is, says to Cain, why are you angry? He didn't say, you fool, what's wrong with you? You stupid? Why can't you be like your brother? No, he just, why are you angry? Very gentle, very humble, very kind and soft-hearted. You see the love of the Father just flowing here. And they say, why has your countenance failed? Why did you lose all your joy? Because the joy of the Lord is our what? Strength. When the joy, when being in the presence of God, it fills us with pure joy. And God said, what happened? This is another way. And God said, what happened? Why are you so sad? He wants to know. He wants to help his son fix it. Amen?
Amen.
And so, if you do well, that's the answer. If you do well, had nothing to do with the gift. Well has everything to do with what? The heart. So if you come to me with the right heart, if you approach me with the right heart, will you not be accepted? Did you see that? Isn't that what your Bible said? Will you not be accepted?
Amen.
So none of all this other stuff. God don't care about all that other stuff. Oh, well, let me see. Yes, he does, but not as much as he care about you.
Amen.
Because notice he didn't, God didn't even make a word about the offering there, did he? He came and told him about his what? His heart. So if there's a problem, you need to tell God.
Right.
And God, 15, 16, maybe nearly 2,000 years into the future, says to a man by the name of Saul, whom he saved personally on the road to Damascus, and told him to start using his Hebrew name, Paul. And Paul, by the Holy Ghost, would write, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. In other words, let the heart that's in Jesus be also in you. This is not new stuff. We see this way back in Genesis where God said, it's a heart issue. Why? Well, we're going to see what heart issues can create. Okay? Watch what happens when the heart is in the wrong place. In order for you and I to do spiritual warfare, you must understand this. You must understand where your heart is. And also, you must understand where the heart of the people are when you get ready to engage in warfare on their behalf. And you need to go to the judge of heaven and say, Lord, this is where I am. And you can tell God, Mr. Willie, Lord, I got an attitude right now. I'm mad right now. Because he tells us over in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 26, he said, be angry and sin not. God says, okay, son, if you want to be angry, but don't have a bad heart with it. But Cain, he mixed the two. When you got an attitude with a bad heart, things don't go well, do they? So the Father used that word well there for a specific reason to let you and I know, I want you to do well. Okay? I want you to finish well. Jesus, when he came on the cross, he said, Father, hold this not against them because they don't know what they're doing. Why? Because he wanted us to finish well. He wanted us to come to God with a good heart. So, Lord, don't hold that against them, Father. Okay? I want them to have a good heart. I want them to transition over to a good heart. Okay? And that's what God is doing with Cain. He's being so patient with this man. Do you see that? Because Father already know what's in store. Do you know that? He knows that this man is about to murder his baby brother. And yet, God went to him. He went to him and attempted to get this man to have a change of heart. Wow. How often does the Holy Spirit come to you and I and say, no, no, no. Like Max liked to say, no, no, no. Don't do that. Or do this. Now, so it says to him, if you do well, will you not be accepted? Folks, God doesn't care what your appearance is, as long as it's not provocative. I mean, he doesn't care that you can bench press 1,000 pounds and run 10 miles in 30 minutes. Okay? He doesn't care about all that. Well, you can recite an encyclopedia from the front to the back. What he cares about, what's in your heart. Okay? Remember King David. With all his brothers of bronze, God said, not him. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks where? Inside at the heart. And it went all down those seven sons of Jesse that was present. They said, do you have any more here? Well, yeah, there's one more. He's a rude kid, a little scrawny. Another way to say it. He's out keeping the sheep. Go get him.
Bring him here.
Bring him here. And brought him. He said, this is the one. This is the one after my own heart.
All right.
And that's what God was trying to do with Cain. He was trying to get Cain to have a change of heart. Okay? Why? Because, folks, what you're about to see here now, you're about to see a shift in the spirit world. Hello. Uh-oh. Watch the shift, Mr. Willie. And God warns us, Deacon Amelia, about this shift. Are you hearing me, Tamara? So, we'll be accepted if you do well. If you do not do well, sin lies at the door. First time we ever see the word sin mentioned in Scripture. I mean, King, the opportunity for you to miss my mark of excellence lies before you right now. In other words, King, the door of spiritual warfare is always present. Where sin is present, there is spiritual warfare. There's a spirit behind every act of sin to get you to pull away from God. And the way the enemy comes at you and I is he comes to get that listening pole that sits on top of your shoulders.
Amen.
It comes to conquer your mind. So what do you think God was appealing to Cain at? He was appealing to his mind, which we call the heart.
Amen.
And so God was trying to cut this off before it happens. Because there's a spirit that's out there, the spirit of the Antichrist that had not yet been named, that spirit was now at the door of Cain's heart. Getting him to war against the things of God. That's the purpose of spiritual warfare. To get you and I to take our eyes off God. Okay? And ever before it was written, here it is. Cain is now experiencing it. And the creator of the universe is standing there with him in the spirit. Talking to Cain in the spirit. And Cain is talking back to him. So don't tell me that God don't talk to us. Cain is having, they're having a two-way conversation here. Are y'all hearing me?
Amen.
So the Father knows best. So he's talking to him. If you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And this desire is for you. That means it wants to destroy you. And it's not going to give up. Why? Because you opened the door for it. Why is this happening? Well, most of the time, it's because of our attitude. We know we're going to be attacked now. I'm not saying that. I'm saying majority of the time, we open doors to sin. We open it up. Did God said it was at the door? The opportunity to sin is always present. But watch what God does with Cain. Watch it. And keep in mind now, you got to understand who's speaking.
Amen.
Let me help you reconcile it. Are you ready? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is talking to Cain.
Amen.
Are you getting this now? The Word is talking to Cain. Cain is talking back. And he's giving Cain something. What's about to happen next? Most of us never knew about it. Are you ready for what the Holy Spirit has in store for you? Did you know that the Word of God was getting ready to be Cain's weapon against sin? Are you ready to see that? Watch what God tells him. Watch. But you should rule over it.
Amen.
Whenever evil desires, whenever evil passions make themselves present, when wicked inclinations come your way to get you to have the propensity to sin against God, you have now been given, Cain, the authority of the Word of God to say, no, 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 I rule over you.
Amen.
It's not going to happen. Did you see the authority God just gave him, Mr. Willie? You shall rule over it. Meaning, Cain, you now have dominion, you now have sovereignty, you now have lordship over sin. You have the power to tell sin no.
Hallelujah.
Didn't see that before, did you? Look what God just did. Look what the Word of God just did with Cain. Just as the Father had given dominion to Adam and Eve in the beginning over all creation on earth, God just gave their Son the authority, the power over sin. That's why God didn't want his parents messing with the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He did not want them to eat it because sin came through that tree on the evil side. Okay? And its desire would never, ever stop until Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stops it in its track. It will always be present. But you, Mr. and Mrs. Christian, you don't have to allow sin to do this to you. In Romans 6, Paul said in chapter 6 and verse 6 and verse 12, Paul tells you and I that we shall not give dominion to sin by yielding our members over to sin. He said, don't you know, whosoever you yield your members to, whether sin or righteousness, that one has dominion over you. You're now its slave. But God just told Cain, he said, listen, you don't have to yield yourself to sin. You got the authority to rule over it by telling it no. In James chapter 4, verse 7, God tells you and I, submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Yes,
I mean, he got to get out of town.
Yeah.
He can't influence something that won't listen.
All right.
Why do you think the Lord Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and will not hearken to the voice of a stranger? Satan is a stranger. God knew this long ago, before he sent his son Jesus into the world as the Son of God. But the Word in the beginning knew this. And he's telling Cain, one of the first human beings, this is what's going to happen. You got a choice to make here. And notice, God does not force himself on Cain. He's gentle with him. And giving him everything he needs. I mean, can you imagine that? Just been given the power of God to tell a spiritual force out there, no. No. It ain't happening. That's why the Holy Ghost got me saying now when I wake up in the morning, Father, I decree that I will not sin against you today. What just happened? I took authority and ruled over sin. Amen? That's what all of you need to be doing. Father, I, whoever your name is, fill in the blank, decree that I will not sin against you. And watch the Father give you that power and watch it happens. And at the end of the day, you look back on, glory to God, I didn't sin against God. I get to testify. Amen? And so, the first thing of spiritual warfare is understanding that the Father will give you everything you need. And he shows this from the beginning by going to Cain and telling him, you shall rule over it. Even though it's on your heels, it's right in your face. Because don't you think that Abel, you don't think those forces of darkness didn't approach him? But he kept his heart in the right place. What was the difference between the two men? They both was reared by the same mom and daddy to love God, were they not? They were in the same household. They knew what their father and mother had did. They knew God from the respect of their mothers. And here, Cain is having dialogue with God. I mean, what better do you want than God himself coming talking to you? Huh? What's better than that, Lord Jesus coming and saying, Vicky, daughter, you know, yeah, you can do this. You go, wow, I can? All right, let's do it, Jesus. Okay? And everybody wants to tell you, you can only hear God in the Word. That's not true. What God tells you line up with his Word, and what the Word does line up with what God is saying. Okay? And now, I feel the same way, Miss Vicky. And now Cain talked with Abel. So God is left Cain. Okay? He's left him. Cain now has to make a decision. It's time to grow up now, isn't it? Amen. God has given this man everything you need, big brother. No seminaries to teach him. There was no Bible for him to open and read. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
The Father himself came and taught him face to face in the Spirit. Like Jesus would do Paul. Amen?
Amen.
And so, now this man, we don't know how much time has transpired between the time God spoke to him and to the time he conspires and leave his brother to the field to commit one of the most heinous acts upon humanity by humanity. This is the first crime against humanity by humanity. Are you hearing me? And yet, God had gone. and told them, you have some power here. I've given you power to control yourself. Okay? You know whether or not you want to do something wrong. Okay? All of us here understand that. The Father has given us the spirit of discernment to choose right from wrong. Okay? Regardless what society says. Regardless of laws passed that are contrary to God's word. All right?
Right.
We know the difference according to God's word. What's right and what's wrong. What's sin and what's not sin. We know. You can't play the ignorant card with God. Okay? Cain cannot play the ignorant card with God. Because God told him, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you don't do well, sin lies at the door. I mean, you got greater problems, man, than not having your offering accepted. Now you're talking about putting yourself in a position not to be accepted. Because notice, God didn't accept his offering. Didn't say that God didn't accept him. God didn't reject the man. God gave the man another chance. That's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't reject the human race. Jesus came and shed his blood to give the human race another chance to be in the family of God. This is far greater than we had anticipated. But the Father was acting out with one human. The Son would act out with the entire human race. This is symbolic here. The Father came to cut off sin in this man's life. Jesus came by shedding his blood to cut off sin in our lives. As the Father tried to avert it, Jesus came to avert it by shedding his own blood. There's a parallelism here. The Son is just like his Father because he knows what's going to happen. As we look on. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him.
Amen.
Notice at this time there was no prohibition against murder. There was no commandment against murder. It had not been written. I spoke to a Jewish rabbi about this. He said, Sammy, y'all are judging Cain wrongly. He sat right there on that green couch. He and I had a long conversation. He said, you Christians don't understand. And I'm going, please help me. He said, were there a commandment written that thou shalt not kill? I'm going, no. So Cain, did Cain break a law? No. But what he did it break God's heart? Yes, of course.
Cain break the law, killing his own brother.
There was no law written.
But at that time.
Did you see that, Mr. Willie? There was no law written. There was no law written. And he's right. This is the first time we see this. This is the first human murdered. There was no law. The only law that they had at that point in time was their father and mother had from God, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? That was the only law. Only prohibition. Okay? And so now, but God knew because of the knowledge of good and evil, that knowledge now of evil now ran rapid in the spirit of who? Cain. So now all he's knowing is to do evil. His concern is not to do good before God. That's why God said, listen, if you do well, and there's a demonstration here before Cain offered his offering to God, that that knowledge of evil, that spirit of evil had began to run rapid within him already. And that's why his offering was not accepted, because he wasn't doing well before God. Are you seeing that? And so as he coming before God, God already know his history. He's already know where he's been, what he's been doing, what he's been thinking. Okay? So God knew, you bring him an offering. Why? You don't care about me. But the loving Father, let me help my son out. Let me get him on the right path. Okay? Let me help him line up with me. So Father goes to him. Hey, look. Why is your face? Why are you disfiguring your face? Why aren't you full of joy? You know, what attitude? If you do well, will you not be accepted? Huh? But if not, sin lies at the door, and you shall conquer it. If not, its desire is to have you, but you must rule over it. You must have dominion over it. You must have kingship over it. Okay? You must control it. Tell it what to do.
Pastor said, how you kill your own brother?
And so, not listening to the voice of God. The voice of God came to this man. All the way from heaven. Miss Vicky. All the way from heaven. So he rose up against his brother. Now God is back again. In verse 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? Father's back again. Remember, whenever he asks a question, he already knows the answer. Okay? Like most of us when we ask our kids?
Yeah, we already know.
We already know. Did you take the cookie off the counter? And they got crumbs around the mouth. We already know the evidence. And so, watch what King does. And for many years, until Rabbi and I had that talk for many years, I said, why did God just smack King upside the head when he answered him this way? He goes, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? You choke or get smart with God. Hold on, smack him upside the head, Lord. You know, we do that to our kids. Don't you get smart with me, boy. I brought you into this world and I'll take you out. Isn't that what we say? And so, Rabbi said, Sammy, did Cain get smart with God? And go, yes, he did. He said, Sammy, where's it written? Where's it written, Sammy? Because us Jews, we see it in the Hebrew language, we see it differently. Because there was no prohibition against murder. So Cain didn't think he'd done anything wrong. So far as he was concerned, it was just another day when God shows up.
But when he said, where's your brother? He still knew where it was.
Of course. He didn't know he had killed. Well, he knew he had killed this brother, but he didn't know it was his responsibility to look out for him. And now, watch what God does. And guys, please hear me very carefully. The Father does not like killing. And he would put a law against it. Are you hearing me?
Oh, yeah.
He would put a law against it. And even though there was no written law against what Cain did, there's still consequences of what Cain did. Okay? So he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. I didn't want to go too far into this about what's happening with Cain. God will punish Cain and tell him he will be a vagabond. That means the ground, he told me, he said, the ground will no longer yield its fruit to you. That means you can plant, but you're not getting a harvest. And you're going to be like a homeless person traveling from place to place. And Cain was concerned about his own life. He said, whoever sees me is going to kill me. And God said, I'll put a mark upon you. And whoever kills Cain, I will kill them. He said, I will take vengeance upon him 7 times. That. And then there's something that God still saves a man's life. Okay? And so here we have it that Cain goes on to produce offsprings. The scripture lists his generations. All right? But I want to put you back on the track, the thought of spiritual warfare is always waiting at the door. And oftentimes we open the door for demonic influence to come in and have desire over us and to control us, to do things against God that we did not want to do. What Cain did was not only killing his brother bad because he killed his brother, but he killed one of God's precious children. Okay? Cain took his eyes off God even after God had came to him and tried to get him on the right course. Cain chose to listen to a voice that wasn't God's. Even though God gave him what he needed for the battle, Jesus Christ has given you and I what we need for the battle. He said, in my name, you shall cast out demons. In my name, you shall heal the sick. In my name, you shall raise the dead. In my name, you shall preach the gospel. So just as the Father gave Cain what he needs, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has given us what we need. And next week, we're going to get into this now. But you need to know from the beginning how this thing was taking place. And next week, I wanted to point it out to you today, but for time's sake, we won't be able to. That down in Egypt land, you will see the Father go against the forces of darkness. He will call them out. And you will see it very clearly in the scriptures when the Holy Ghost pointed out to you. It's there. Just as big as, like we used to say in the army, it's just as big as Stuttgart. Stuttgart is a city in Germany. And so, get ready. Get ready to have your eyes open and your hearts enlightened by the Spirit of God. God has shown you from Genesis 3 last week. Now he's shown you from Genesis 4 what it's like. Now it's time to make the transition. Now it's time for you to see the evil one directly and how God calls him out. Now we've seen how he worked behind the scenes to get us to turn against God. You just seen that. Even when God warns us, Cain still went against God's word, did he not? And the result of that was he sinned against God by killing his brother. Did he? Folks, he sinned against God by having his heart in the wrong place. Are you hearing me? God's going to get him for it. And so it's a beautiful thing when the Father himself comes to you by the Spirit and he says to you, I don't want you doing this. First he asks, what's wrong? What's going on with you? Because that's what he was doing with King. Because that's what the enemy does. He first turns our attitude. He twists our attitude by twisting the word of God in us. Okay? God didn't tell the man that he couldn't bring an offering again. God said, if you do wrong, will you not be accepted? But if you do what's right, if your heart is well, will you not be accepted? Of course. And so, my prayer for you today is that you right now, while you're sitting here, before the kids come in, is for you right where you are. You ask God if your heart is well with him. You ask Lord Jesus if your heart is right. Because you know if you got an attitude with God. Because your attitude will reflect in your behavior towards the things of life. Oh, yeah, yeah. I ain't just talking about coming in God's house doing stuff. Your attitude will stink all around. Okay? People want the kids going, what's wrong with mama? I'm going, what's wrong with you? And she come back, what's wrong with you? You know, got to bite back. I'm just speaking on women right now. Get me later. Because I love you. You're the easiest target right now. No, really. I'm just throwing that out there. Because guys, we're the same way, really. Honestly, God, I spoke to you this morning, said good morning. Didn't you hear me? What's wrong with you? What side of the bed did you get up on? Right? The same Holy Ghost that woke her up, woke you up. Amen? It caused you to have strength to put on your britches, call her to get dressed, and she's in a good mood, you're in a bad mood. And Holy Spirit is telling you, hey, get right. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't go into the house of the Lord like that. You got time to change before you arrive here. Amen? You got time to really tell God some stuff, to talk to him. You even have time to say to your wife, like I did this morning, and say, honey, I didn't hear you. Matter of fact, she said, maybe you didn't hear me. I was preoccupied. I actually did hear her say good morning, but I was so busy moving stuff out the way because she had piled all this stuff in front of my closet so I can get my clothes out to come to church with you all this morning. Amen? And I did. I said, good morning. How are you doing this morning? And so I don't want my heart in the wrong place. So when I walk in here, praise be to God, I want to feel the Spirit. Didn't I tell you I feel God's presence? Y'all was just warming up and I'm going like, I'm over there about to shout. Okay? Because my heart is well with God, Mr. Willie. I want people's hearts right with God. I really do. I really do. Glory to God. Some things are not meant for a pastor to see. Glory to God. God is so good. Not sometime, but all the time. Do take from what the Holy Ghost has given us. Lord Jesus is so marvelous. Though we don't see him as the Son of God as we know him from the scriptures there in the New Testament. We know he went to King and put his loving arms around this man. He really did. And tried to get him to repent. There's another way of saying repentance. Okay? That's what God was trying to get him to do. To repent. But he refused. Jesus is here with you for a reason. You are here to hear this word of God for a reason. Lord Jesus Christ, in his loving way, is here to say to us, if something's not right with you, I'm here to help you repent. I'm here to guide you to repentance. OK? Because that's what the Father was doing with Cain. Okay? He was loving Cain very deeply. Very up close and personal. He went to him and had a one-on-one. Notice God didn't send his daddy, because Adam might have beat the snot out of him. Okay? He didn't send him that way. He didn't send the mama, didn't send Eve to him. All right? Because she might have slapped the fire out of him. But what did God do? A one-on-one. I mean, that's precious. How much more precious than that, than getting a one-on-one with God? Huh? Not one time, but what? Twice this man got a one-on-one with God. That's marvelous, Mr. Willard. That is so marvelous that the creator of the universe come and give us a one-on-one. The Bible tells us that by the Holy Spirit, God comes and dwells in us. Jesus said he will come. He said, those who keep my commandments, he said, I will come to him. That's a one-on-one. And nothing greater than that. Nothing greater than Jesus. Tamara driving that big old red truck going down the road, just singing all jolly. Why, she got a one-on-one with Jesus. By the Spirit, the Holy Ghost is just moving. Tell her riding his bicycle around town, just whistling and singing like he does. Why? He has a one-on-one with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
By the Spirit of God, and that's what God's people need. And when we mess up, we need to be in a position to hear God's voice. And when Lord Jesus is speaking, okay, Clint, as loud as his motorcycle is, can still hear the voice of God when he's talking to him. And he can keep riding all he wants to, but when the Holy Ghost is talking, guess what? His spirit is listening. He hears what the Spirit is saying. Folks, are y'all hearing me?
Yes.
I used to think, Lord God, you got to get me out of this house with all these kids. I need a place to quietness to hear your voice. Do you know how many times in the middle of the night the Holy Ghost have talked to me in my house? Huh? He puts you in a position to hear his voice. No matter how busy your house is. Even in the middle of the storm. Amen? Did the disciples not hear Jesus' voice? In the midst of the storm, Mr. Willie, they heard his voice. They heard him speak to the wind and to the sea. They heard his voice, just like Cain did. So spiritual warfare, the first thing requires us to hear the voice of God and know who's talking.
Jesus.
And know who's directing. Amen? And when God speaks, we need to be listening. And when we listen to him, we are able to have those storms calmed in our lives. Because most of the time, Jesus said, you know what? I'm not going to quiet this storm. I'm going to let you quiet it. I give you the power, say, in my name, devil, get out of here. I'm going to say it in a phrase, and I want y'all to hear the phrase, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And I don't want you to think I'm speaking in vain. I want you to understand language. One thing I understand is language. Okay? I may not understand math, but I understand language. I want you to get this. Tell the devil to get the hell out of here. Okay, now let's break it down. Are you ready? Satan. When he comes, Jesus said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Are you getting this now? So you're telling him to get his gates and his hell, get the hell out of here. In Jesus' name. You're not cussing. Don't fall into that thing of the world. You're telling him to get the hell out of here. I don't want it, devil. Did you catch that now? Because Jesus said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. So you're telling the devil, take his hell and get out of here.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
I ain't cussing. Every head bow. Every head bow. Oh, glory to God. I'm talking about Jesus giving us that victory in his name. In the name of Jesus, get the hell out of here, devil. Okay? Get it out of here. You're evicted. Amen?
Hey, Pastor, I'll ask you a question. Back then, there wasn't no such thing as killing nobody.
We'll talk on the side. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. Every head bow. You talk to Jesus right now. You talk to Father and you thank Him for this great revelation knowledge He's given you. He took Cain that day and He gave him one of the most beautiful gifts of all. He gave Cain His word. And He told Cain, you now, Cain, you have dominion over sin. You don't have to let it rule you. Don't let His desires take control of you. Lord Jesus, I wish I'd known this long time ago. Glory to God. I'm not saying how to turn out any better. But I sure thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you so much for your living word. Lord, we don't want to be in the position of Cain. We want to be in the position of Abel, where our hearts are well with you, Lord, so that we would be accepted by you, Lord Jesus. So we want the same mind that's in you to be also in us. Help us, Lord Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, to have a mind transplant, to have a heart transplant in the Spirit so that we can be just like you. So we can truly say we have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ does not curse. It does not speak profane things. It does not think profanely. It's not perverted. And all it is the holiness of God. And that's what we want, for the glory of God the Father sits upon the throne. Have your way now, Lord Jesus. Have your way with your people. Any that wants prayer, come on up. Come on up. In Jesus' name, Jesus is Lord over everything. Over sickness, over death, over diseases, over hell, over earth, over heaven. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is Lord over all. Have your way, Lord Jesus. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Wow. Y'all like the star stuff up in here, don't you? To God be the glory. In-